listening live.
Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, February 18th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky announces their presence with authority on Saturday night against Tennessee, the former number one team in America. Who's going to win this SEC anyway? Is Kentucky almost locked into a number two seed for the NCAA tournament? Should Tyler Hero keep his big trap shut? Why LSU should act like they've been there before, even if they haven't? A former Kentucky Wildcat wins a big NBA championship, sort of. A former men's wrestling champion loses to a woman. One UK student wins more in one half-court shot than the entire basketball team will receive in one school year, allegedly. A pro golfer is outed as a cheapskate. Spring training just started and the Reds have already got everything decided. Colin Kaepernick gets a huge win, finally. And of course, we'll have midweek upset specials in college basketball. So let's go.
They're off.
She's Asian, she's loose, and she's fat. I hit the trifecta!
If you've mastered the art of win, place, and show wagers, let's try a trifecta.
Creating a trifecta of joint smoking power.
It's the trifecta, the top three stories of local sports. Story number one, Kentucky 86, Tennessee 69 on Saturday night. Number five over number one, as if those rankings really mean anything. PJ Washington, the star of the game for Kentucky, 23 points. But Cal wasn't about to let this one get away. He had five guys play over 30 minutes in this one. He wasn't going to mess around with anybody else. He had his iron five in there. But what does this mean going forward? You could go back and look at the stats and rewatch the game all you want to. We don't care about that now. It's the past. We try to look going forward. That's what we are at Sports Talk Radio. We're fortune tellers, trying to predict the future. And all these bracketology experts now have Kentucky as a number two seed. The analytics. Ken Pomeroy now has Kentucky as the fifth best team in America. Jeff Sagarin and ESPN BPI have them as the sixth best team in America. And in the SEC, Kentucky now at 10-2, one game behind LSU at 11-1, and Tennessee at 11-1. But back to Tennessee for a minute. Are they really the number one team in America? Or did they just take advantage of a very favorable schedule for the last 2 months? In the pre-conference season, Tennessee defeated Louisville. We'll get to Louisville's choke jobs in just a minute. They lost to Kansas in overtime. They defeated Gonzaga, which is a huge plus for them on their resume. But since that Gonzaga win on December 9th, they had only played two games. But since that Gonzaga win on December 9th, you could argue that Tennessee has only played two top 50 teams if you adjust based on the location of the game. That was at Memphis on December 15th, and that's stretching it, and at Florida on January 12th. That Tennessee road schedule in the SEC at Missouri, Florida, Vandy, which they almost lost, South Carolina, and A&M. And all those teams other than Florida and South Carolina, which is a fraud, by the way. That's another story for another day. All those teams are in the bottom third of the SEC. So their schedule's been very favorable with only two tough games in the last 2 months. While in that same span, Kentucky's had 10 games against top 50 teams adjusted for location. 10 versus 2. Strength of schedule advantage, huge on Kentucky's side. And in fact, our friend Ken Pomeroy sent out a tweet last Friday, and we retweeted it on our Twitter feed at BottomLineLex, in which he said, fun fact, Tennessee's conference strength of schedule has been easier than Santa Clara's and Washington State's. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that Tennessee's a bad team. They've got some very impressive wins outside of the conference. But since that Gonzaga win on December 9th, they've had a schedule that has allowed them to cruise for 2 months now. So to say Tennessee did not deserve the number one ranking, that's flawed logic, simply based on the way the rankings go. You have one loss and you're a Power 5 team, you're going to be ranked high no matter what. But if you look at the schedule and see who Tennessee's played for the last couple of months, you'll see that they were cruising for a bruising as soon as they played a good team on the road. And that's what they got Saturday night in Kentucky. And of course, these two teams will play again in 2 weeks on March the 2nd. Don't be shocked if Tennessee gets revenge in that one.
They're off.
Story number two. But who's going to win this SEC? Tennessee at 11-1. LSU 11-1. Kentucky 10-2. We talked about Tennessee's schedule, how it's severely loaded to the back half. Of their last six conference games, Tennessee plays five of them against top 50 teams, whereas LSU gets the cakewalk of them all. They get to play at home against Tennessee. That's pretty much it. So if you're looking for a team right now to win this conference, for my money, it's LSU. They don't have the best team, but they've got the easiest schedule down the stretch, and they're already tied for first. And LSU gets to play Tennessee in Baton Rouge. Advantage, Tigers. And of course, if it comes down to a tie between LSU and Kentucky at the end, LSU, with that head-to-head win last week, will be crowned the champion. But it's conceivable for either Tennessee or Kentucky. If they get a share of the SEC championship and then win the conference tournament, they might be that fourth number one seed in the NCAA tournament, along with Duke, Gonzaga, and Virginia. Then again, it poses a question. Would you rather be a number one seed and the number two seed in your region is Michigan State or Michigan or North Carolina? Or would you rather be a number two seed in the same region as Gonzaga or Virginia? The numbers say you'd rather be the one against Michigan or Michigan State or North Carolina, but public perception definitely says the Big Blue Nation would be thrilled to be a number two seed in the same region as a number one seeded Virginia or Gonzaga. It's just how it is. And don't let Kentucky be a number two seed in the same region as Duke. All hell will break loose on that one. So the SEC championship is coming down to three teams. Our money right now is on the team no one thought would be there, LSU, based simply on an easier schedule down the stretch and getting Tennessee at home. Speaking of LSU, how do you know you're a team like LSU and you've never been there before? When you print up t-shirts about the tip last Tuesday night against Kentucky to win that game. Whether it was legal or not, whether it should have counted or not, it's irrelevant. Don't print up shirts for a regular season game for a road win at UK. Print up shirts for a Final Four trip. Print up shirts for a national championship. Don't print up a shirt for a regular season game in mid-February. Do you think LSU would print up t-shirts if they won in Alabama in football? I take that back. They probably would just to make some money. But seriously, really? The tip. Those t-shirts won't be worth 25 cents in 3 weeks. And it's only worth about 50 now. After Saturday night's game, Tyler Hero says that Kentucky is the best team in America. Or as Duke heard this and said, hold my beer. Hard to believe that Duke-Kentucky game was over 3 months ago when Duke beat Kentucky 118-84. Now, would that happen today? Probably not. I don't see Duke getting 118 points on Kentucky today. But I can promise you Duke would be a nice favorite against Kentucky, regardless of where it was held. Which brings us to one of our big questions if you're trying to win your bracket pool this March. Can you pick against Kentucky, and can you take Duke to win it all? If you're in Lexington and you can't do either of those two things, you might be dead money walking. Our other big question, can you take teams like Gonzaga and especially Virginia to make the Final Four? A lot of people that I've talked to around here could possibly go against Kentucky, could possibly pick Duke, but nobody wants to take Virginia. That's just how it is. Recency bias and public perception won't allow any prognosticators to take Virginia to win it all around here. I'm not saying they're going to win it all, but one of these years, they're going to live up to expectations of a one seed and actually make the Final Four. When Virginia is a one seed this year, it'll mark the fourth time in the last 6 years they'll be a number one seed, and they've never even sniffed the Final Four. Again, can you take them to make it? Can you put the past behind you? Can you look at it as Team A and Team B instead of using bias? Questions to think about when those brackets come out in 4 weeks.
They're off.
Story number three, and of course before the Kentucky game on Saturday, ESPN Game Day was in town, and a kid hit a shot from half court and won $19,000. And immediately Jay Billis comes out and says, huh, this kid wins $19,000, yet the kids don't get a dime. Well, officially that's true. But if you think these basketball players aren't getting anything, any money whatsoever, to play at Kentucky, you're fooling yourselves. Oh, by the way, they get to live in the nicest dorms on campus. They get to live in their own little dorm. They get the best food money can buy. They get all the advantages that that dorky kid who's got to sit in the dorm rooms all day, that kid doesn't have. So if you want to tell me that the kid that won $19,000 gets paid and the basketball players don't get paid, and that's a travesty, a sham, and a mockery, a travesham-ockery, go ahead. If you live in the real world, you know the truth. Those basketball players would laugh at $19,000 if that's all they got for a year. Believe me, they're getting paid more, and they have many more advantages than the normal freshman walking on the UK campus. Or any campus for that matter. Now, should the college basketball players get paid? Yes. Why? Because they already are. Don't fool yourself on that one. And you know what? They deserve it. Who cares? Pay them. The only problem that colleges have with paying basketball players and football players is then they have to pay all the athletes. Because on this show and on any show I've ever done, we only talk about two sports. College football, men's college basketball. That's it. Here in Lexington, they'll talk about everything. Baseball, track and field, volleyball, tiddlywinks. Checkers, you name it. If it's UK checkers, they'll talk about it all night long. Newsflash, that's not good radio. And another newsflash, I can't bet on the next game, so we're not talking about it. That's one of many reasons why. We only talk about two college sports on this show, or any show I've ever been on. So yeah, congrats to the kid for the 19K. But don't for a minute sit there and think that kid just got paid more than those basketball players got paid, because he didn't. And we'll have a pick on the Kentucky-Missouri game in our Mac Daddy Stogie segment at the end of the show. Other college basketball, it's been a tough couple of weeks for Louisville. On February 1st, they were sitting at 16-5, 7-1 in the ACC. They're 2-3 in their last five games, including a loss to Duke, in which they were ahead by 23, and then on Saturday they won by 1 point against Clemson at home when they were up by 7 points with 30 seconds to go. You just get to a point, if you have these big leads, it becomes a mental block, especially after the choke job they gave against Duke two nights before. A couple of weeks ago, there were some experts out in the desert who were pouncing on Louisville as a 50-75-1 shot to win the national championship. Those whispers have gone away, especially after the last couple of games. They head to Syracuse Wednesday night. Good luck. Lexington Mayor Linda Gordon just defeated the former WWE heavyweight champion of the world, Kane, also known as Glenn Jacobs, now is the mayor of Knox County, where Knoxville is, and they had one of those cornball bets. I'll bet you a patch of Kentucky bluegrass against a whiskey bottle from Knoxville, or whatever they bet. Remember the old days when mayors from the two teams that would be in the World Series would give some cornball wagers just to appease the public? It wasn't funny then, it's not funny now, other than the fact that a little old woman who's mayor of Lexington just took down Kane, former heavyweight champion of the world. By the way, I'd like to see some of those Glenn Jacobs campaign commercials. Were they anything like the crap we had to go through last year here in Lexington? God, I hope not. I'm sure it had something to do with a loser leave town match in a steel cage or something like that. By the way, something I've always stood by. There's only three things better in the 80s than they are today. College basketball, music, and professional wrestling. Don't forget that, kids.
Diamonds are forever! And so are the Four Horsemen.
One more college basketball note. Texas Tech, with 10 seconds to go yesterday, was leading Baylor by the score of 84-61. The over had already come through. The point spread wasn't in doubt. Irrelevant. And then a junior walk-on by the name of Andrew Sorrells, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, makes an alley-oop dunk to make the score 86-61, sending Texas Tech coach Chris Beard into an absolute frenzy. And he literally told his own player, F you. And his face turned beet red if you see the replay of it. Really? You're up 23 on Baylor, and if you go through Baylor's football and men's basketball history, you'll go through some of the most sordid tales in the history of college sports. Go look up Art Briles and Dave Bliss. See what you come up with. But I digress. So you don't want to pour it on Baylor? By the way, the kid who scored the basket, he's a junior walk-on who never gets to play. And you're going to chastise this kid for dunking the ball on ESPN, on national TV, and all his friends can see it? He dunks it and runs down court with his hands in the air, thrilled to death? Really? You want him to just sit there and be miserable? Yeah, let the kid dunk. Who cares? Baylor was still playing defense. It's not like they had quit. I saw the replay. Let the kid dunk the ball and enjoy life. He would have been a hero at the frat parties that night. But no, you had to ruin it for the poor kid. You had to curse him out on national TV. Way to go, Chris Beard. You're a really good coach of a team that was ranked number 15 but should be ranked higher. They're that good. Don't do that to that poor walk-on player who never gets a score and finally gets the score on ESPN. You think he'll ever get another chance like that? Probably not. And you ruined it for him. Way to go, coach. There comes a time in our lives when we just take things a little too seriously. And for Chris Beard, that was definitely one of them. There are now only two undefeated teams in college basketball in conference play. Gonzaga, who we need to lose just one conference game for personal offshore reasons, if you know what I mean, and Wofford. If Gonzaga loses a game, meh, who cares? They're still going to be a number one seed in the tournament probably anyway. But if Wofford loses somewhere along the line and then loses in their conference tournament, they might be out. That's what happens when you play in the Southern Conference and you don't play anybody all year. Just think of it like this. If your best three wins on the year are wins at South Carolina, yes, that happened, UNC Greensboro, and East Tennessee State, yeah, that's probably not going to get you in the tournament. When your best win is a win at South Carolina, good luck with that. You can run the table in your regular season conference, lose the last game of your conference tournament, and be outside looking in. By the way, if you think Wofford's going to go undefeated this regular season, we're betting no. They lose next Saturday at Furman. You heard it here first. But that's the plight of these teams in these mid-major conferences. I got into a conversation on Twitter the other day with a guy who asked me why I wasn't bringing up Murray State. And their guy, Ja Morant, who's apparently going to be a top five draft pick in the NBA next summer. And my reply was, hey, I'm talking big pictures. Murray State has to worry about winning the OVC tournament before doing anything in the NCAA tournament, which is true. It doesn't matter if you have a future NBA superstar on your team. If Murray State doesn't win their conference tournament, they ain't making the NCAA tournament, baby.
Boom shakalaka!
NBA All-Star Weekend. Former Kentucky player Hamidou Diallo is now your NBA slam dunk champion. I heard a lot of people were talking about wagering on this event. God bless you. I can't do that. I'm sorry. So congratulations, Hamidou Diallo, for winning the slam dunk championship, and a guy named Joe Harris for the Brooklyn Nets won the three-point contest. We all remember Joe Harris in his days at Virginia. We do? Kinda? Must be a white guy, right? Yep, white guy. A guy named Joe Harris that went to Virginia? Yeah, that's a white guy. I can promise you that.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
Other scuttlebutt from this NBA weekend, Jason Tatum of Boston said that the Boston Celtics will win the NBA championship this summer. Good luck to you, buddy. You really are trying to get traded for Anthony Davis, are you? Speaking of Anthony Davis, there was a tweet this past weekend quoting Anthony Davis as saying, and I quote, "I will always have love for the city of New Orleans. When that time comes, I'm going to definitely have a heartwarming message for the New Orleans fans and put it out on Instagram like everybody else does." Wow. Talk about heartfelt. Boy, you think this is not going to be a long and drawn-out process for Anthony Davis to get traded? Uh-huh. You heard it here first. This dude's not playing for the Pelicans again. Not this year, not next year, not any year. And finalist for pun of the day, I look forward to reading about Anthony Davis's trade on my browser. Get it? Unibrow, browser. Tough room, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, you want to feel old watching all this NBA slam dunk three-point contest stuff? You really want to feel old? Michael Jordan turned 56 years old over the weekend. Good God, it's been 37 years since he hit the game-winning shot in college against Georgetown to win the national championship. Ugh, I am old.
Cool, the NFL's oldest surviving player.
I'm 53 years young.
Who cares about this cold weather stuff? Spring training has started for the Reds, who have already named their starting rotation for the coming seasons, so there's no reason of even trying out if you're a wannabe starting pitcher. Tyler Malley got the shaft, but that's another story for another day. So they've already named their five starters. New manager David Bell, who one year ruined one of my fantasy teams, that's how old he is, claims that he will keep five starting pitchers, eight relief pitchers, for a total of 13. Kind of ballsy for a new manager to start out, but I think that's where we are in baseball today. It's all about bullpenning. Congratulations with that. The Reds still at 76 total wins out in Las Vegas, and a lot of people have been taking the Reds to go over that total. Would I be shocked to see the Reds get over 76? Yes. Why? Look at that starting rotation. You've got to be able to get people out, even though your lineup looks great. And if they bat Peraza number one and two in that lineup, they should be shot. But I digress. But yeah, let's see how these starting pitchers go before saying that the Reds are back again. Because if you watch this team for the last 5 years, you know one thing. They can't get people out. And in two consecutive years, they had the two worst bullpens in the history of Major League Baseball in 2015 and 2016. In the history of baseball, the two worst bullpens ever. Where's Alfredo Simon when you need him?
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Big win over the weekend for Colin Kaepernick against the NFL, scared to death that he would expose them for the frauds that they are. They settled with Kaepernick so he wouldn't expose them, and God knows how much money he got from them. Early estimates I've heard are between anywhere from $49 to over $60 million just to keep your big fat trap shut and leave us alone. Unbelievable. He basically made more money by kneeling and getting shut out of the NFL than he ever would have made by playing in the NFL. Now that's a racket.
How much would it cost me if I was to rub up against your leg like a dog?
$70.
$70? Good Lord! Oh, how about I give you $4 and you give me a scuba snap?
Matt Kuchar is a professional golfer who won a golf tournament last year in Mexico in November and won $1.3 million. His caddy, who was from Mexico, who was a local from Mexico, was expecting a 10% cut, which is what caddies are customarily paid, which would have been $130,000. However, his caddy, David Ortiz, not to be confused with Big Poppy, received a check for $5,000. Huh. I just won $1.3 million. I'm supposed to give my caddy 10%, but instead of $130,000, I'm just going to give him $5,000. And at first, when he was asked about this, Kuchar said that Ortiz doesn't make much of a living down in Mexico, so he really should be happy with the $5,000 that he got. Wow. More on this from Kuchar. For a guy who makes $200 a day, a $5,000 week is a really big week. I hope he's happy. I hope things are really good in his life. I have to think if he was given the same opportunity to do it again, he'd say yes. He has a great personality. He's easy to be with. And the photo of the two of us with the trophy, that will always be on the wall of my office. Wow. Here comes the Twitter backlash. Here comes everybody hating on this guy. And I'm sorry, he deserved it. Not only over the terrible payment, but the even worse explanation. And then, after all this backlash comes out, he was totally backing up his decision. Until finally, on Saturday, Kuchar came out with the prepared statement and said, I made comments that were out of touch and insensitive, making a bad situation worse. Of course, this was all written on a piece of paper and tweeted out as a prepared statement. And now, Kuchar's finally going to pay this guy the $130,000 that he deserved in the first place. Basically, Kuchar told his people, hey, prepare me a statement, I'll sign it, you post it, and then cut the guy a check. Oh, by the way, Ortiz sent Kuchar a letter requesting $50,000 instead of the $5 he was given, and instead of the $130,000 that most caddies get. And Kuchar denied him the $50,000. I know we're talking about first world problems here, and you can insert your own Caddyshack joke here. Believe me, I got a ton of them. Believe me, I've got a ton of those. But for Matt Kuchar to stiff this caddy of what he deserved, and not only stiff him, but just give him pennies of what he should have gotten, it's one of the most abominable things I've ever heard of in sports. By the way, this was 4 months ago, and as soon as the Twitterverse got hold of this, Kuchar couldn't deal with it anymore, and he had to pay the guy. So congrats to the caddy David Ortiz. You finally got paid. And in the meantime, you took Matt Kuchar down. Two birds with one stone. Congrats to you, my friend. By the way, Kuchar has only made $47 million in his professional career. And you can't give this kid a couple of dollars? Welcome to the real world, baby.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time, where we look for upset winners, unranked teams, or lower-ranked teams to upset the higher-ranked big boys of the world. 2-1 last week. This week, we've got one midweek game to look at. Tuesday night, number 17, Florida State, 20-5 on the season, 8-4 in the ACC. Travels to Clemson, coming off a close almost win at Louisville over the weekend. Clemson 15-10, 8-7 in the ACC. Florida State, we never know how they do it, but they get the job done. At the turn of the year, they lost four of their first five ACC games, and now they've won seven in a row, including wins at Syracuse and Miami. But this is a little bit of a step up in competition for them. Clemson, not a bad team. 15-10, 5-7 in the ACC. This team is 10-2 at home this season, only with losses to Nebraska, who pre-conference was a great team until they lost one of their best players, and a loss at home to Virginia. Other than that, they've run the table, including a win over Virginia Tech last week. Clemson at home, tough team. And they play defense, according to Ken Pomeroy, the 13th best defensive team in the country. So give us unranked Clemson with a little bit of revenge on their mind. They went to Florida State in January and lost by 9, but they'll come back home and win this one straight up. Give us unranked Clemson over number 17 Florida State on Tuesday night. Also on Tuesday night, Kentucky will travel to Missouri. As of this taping, we do not have a point spread for that game, but Missouri 12-12 overall, 3-9 in the conference. We all know about Kentucky, but who is Missouri? A team that likes to slow it down. They're 309th in the nation in tempo, and a team that seems to get up for these home games against conference foes. 3 weeks ago, they lost to LSU in overtime in a game they should have won. Like I said, we do not know the point spread in this game yet, but if you see a point spread in which Kentucky is favored by double digits anywhere, take Missouri in the points. And if you see a game total which is anywhere over about 130, take the under. We'd take Missouri in the under with a double-digit line and over 130 points. But like I said, we do not have a line for this game as of this taping, sadly, or we'd go to the windows with double-fisted money, if you know what I'm saying. Kentucky should continue their winning streak Tuesday against Missouri, but like any other game in the SEC on the road, it's always dicey. And there's your Mac Daddy Stogie for the week. Unranked Clemson over number 17, Florida State. You can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
I'd be the worst courtside reporter. So Dwight Howard, how do you feel like your 12 missed free throws affect the people that bet the over?
And that does it for the Monday, February 18th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. You'll get little college basketball gambling tidbits throughout the week. And until next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.